It is truly good once again to be able to be in our right minds, to have the activity of our limbs to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. I know without having to ask that there is somebody here that didn't want to get up this morning, but you got up anyway. You didn't feel like coming to worship service, but you came anyway. And you did not come to show off. You didn't come so someone could see you. You came because you love God. And that is what we always need to keep in our minds. We're not here to please man. We're here to please God. Although man will continue to strive to encourage you to come to worship service, it's not about man, it's about God and your soul's salvation. Brother Stephan, we made the announcement before Bible study on this morning, has come back to the fold, and we welcome him. And I'm just going to tell off on him for a second. Brother Stephan, this is what I do. Look at him back there looking at me like, you better not say nothing. I'm going to say it anyway. I called Brother Stephan the first of the week, and Brother Stephan told me he would call me back. And my wife asked me yesterday, had I heard from him yet? I said, no, I'm going to leave that brother alone. I said, I called him, and the ball is in his court. Brother Stephan did one better. He didn't call me, but he showed up this morning. Made his confession. Now, I like that. It's not about me, Brother Stephan. It's all about you and God, your relationship with him. And I'm not pointing him out. I'm not trying to embarrass him. I just want everybody to know. Brother Brown stood up here a couple of Sundays ago, and he called out the names of those individuals that we was going to be disfellowshipping from our midst because of their disobedience, not walking orderly according to God's word. So just as we call their names when we disfellowship them, we need to call their names when they come back to the fold so that we may know who they are and we may know how to entreat them. When they come back to the back door back there, we can't just say, we're waiting on you to come back. Now we can tell Brother Stephan, we're glad that he is back. And that is something that we all need to rejoice about, just as we do when one is baptized into the body of Christ. We rejoice. We need to rejoice when they come back to the fold. And that's not what I'm here to preach about this morning. That is just something that we need to understand. The topic on this morning is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is important. The Word of God is needed by many people on today. We tell people that they need God in their lives. They need Jesus in their lives. They need some good people in their lives. And in order to get these good people into their lives, they need to understand the Word of God. In the book of Luke chapter 8 and the verses 11, we find that the Word is the seed. The seed. Or the seed is the Word of God. It's important that when we realize and we read about the Word of God, that we realize what this Word is able to do to us or do for us. The parable, as we read, let's go up to verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed or some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and it was soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Why do we have so many people today that tell you that they're listening to every word you say, but yet they're not showing that they're hearing what is said? This is just me now. I like to distinguish between listening and hearing. I always say that hearing is more important than listening. But you have to listen in order to hear. So the Bible, Jesus says, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what are we trying to hear? What did Jesus want us to hear concerning his word? He wants us to hear that his word is important. His word is what's going to save us in the last day. And if we do not allow the word to direct our steps, we're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. In Psalm 119, the verses 105, we find that the word is a lamp and a light. And we find that this word that I'm talking about is the word of God. We need to understand that this is what's going to direct our path. This is what's going to get us from point A to point B in a manner that is pleasing unto God. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, we don't like to know where we're going. But in order to know where we're going, we have to know the direction. The word is going to help us do that. I believe I told you, and if I didn't, I'm going to tell you now. I have a license plate that says, when all else fails, follow the instructions or the directions. Why do we have to wait until we fail in order to follow the instructions? God's word is here for us. It's helping us to get along our way, or wants to help us to get us where we need to be. Let's not wait until we fall flat on our faces. Let's do something about God's word right now. Let's accept it into our lives and do what we know to be right. There are many times where we feel that we do not want to tell people about God's word anymore. But as Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23, the verses 29. Jeremiah 23, the verses 29. He says, is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Do we see the power that God's word has? It can destroy. It can build up. It can make us who we need to be. And that is a child of God. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. His word is a sword. You know, we have some individuals out there that don't know how to use the word. You know, when you're playing with knives and you don't know how to use that knife, you mess around and cut yourself. I had a case knife, which some of you know better as a butter knife. And some of the butter knives, they have a little sharp edge or a little jagged edge on one side of that butter knife. And you know, we was under the impression that you couldn't do nothing but cut butter with it. We were wrong. As children, we were playing with a butter knife, and me, I got cut. But you have to know what you're messing with when you start messing with sharp objects, and the word of God is sharp. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians 6, verse 19. Am I in the right verse there, Brother Brian?
Yes.
Read it for us.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Is that right?
Go ahead and read it.
That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of God.
And you know, we're going to use that to speak boldly with confidence. And we're going to go back up to verse 17 now. Go ahead and read that, Brother Brian.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
See, when you're playing with knives, my neighbor told me when I was a little boy, he was a grown man, he said, I'm much better for somebody to come at me with a gun than a knife. He said, a gun will click, but a knife won't. The word of God is the same way. It will not click. It does what it is supposed to. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 19 again, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak what? The word of God. So the individuals may know how they're supposed to live, what they're supposed to do, how often they're supposed to do it. The Word of God. It is good that we have it. And it is good that we do what we're supposed to with it. There are some things that we should know about the Word. You say, I already know all I need to know about the Word. I know it's from God. Yes, it is from God. Not only is it from God, it's inspired. It's inspired. It's His Word. It's not man's Word. Man will tell us what he wants us to know, but he will not tell us fully what God would have us to do. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. A lot of people say, well, how do you interpret that? What is your understanding out of that? You know, we get calls on the radio program and someone may ask the question, well, give me your thoughts on that. Brother Randy and I, Brother Daniel, you know, we always have to go back and say, this is more Bible talk. I can give you my opinion all day long, but if I don't give you the Bible with it, it's not worth anything, is it? So we find here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's not how you interpret the Bible. It's not how I interpret the Bible. It's what the Bible says. The Bible interprets itself.
Amen.
We can get the truth. We can have the truth. We can know the truth if we would only open up the truth. I wonder what's in that safe over there. You have the combination. Go unlock it and see what's in it. I wonder what's behind that door. You have the key. Open it and walk through it and see what's behind that door. I wonder what God says or what God thinks on this subject. Open up God's Word and find out.
Amen.
It's very simple. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Do I hear you back there, Brother Theotis? You got it? Read it for us, brother.
And I certify you, brother, that the gospel was preached of me is not after man. I either received it of man, neither seek it of man, neither will I talk it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Paul, born out of season, he says. He was an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't walk with Christ. But the word, he says, that he preached, it was not after man. It was from whom? It was from Jesus Christ. And where did Jesus get his words from, Brother Brian? Got them from God. The Father. That's what he mouthed over there. The Father. So it wasn't even Christ's words. It was the words of the Father. So when we teach and preach God's Word today, we need to understand that it is not what we think. It's what God thinks. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word works in those that believe. And what does this working cause one to do? It calls one to be obedient. It causes one to examine his or her life. It causes one to walk in the path that God would have them to walk, do the things, say the things that God would have them to say. The Word is from God. The Word is powerful. It's powerful. You know, there are some ladies that can lift more weights than men, you know, and Brother Brian and Brother Simmons this morning in Bible class, we're talking about looking at ladies. There's some type of ladies we just don't really like to see, and that's a lady full of muscles. Buff! I'm talking about muscles on top of muscles. That's just not appealing, okay? But the Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. It's filled with many things that will help us to understand what we need to do, and it will never leave us weak. That's the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. But the others, that was free. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Not what you say, but the heart. It knows what you're thinking. It knows what's right. It knows what's wrong. It says they're piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, I really wanted to go to worship, but something got in my way. What got in your way? You don't have to tell us. The Word knows what got in your way. Yeah, I hear that alarm clock, but let it go off. It's going to go off by itself in a minute. I don't really want to get out of bed this morning. It's all right. The Word is what you're going to be judged by. It's not going to be man. It's going to be the Word. It is powerful. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. There are many people, as we knock doors, tell us a whole lot of different things. One lady told us yesterday as we were knocking the door, she said, well, I have my own faith. I'm a Baptist. And I really do believe Anita was getting ready to walk off. And I said, that's all right. You can come anyway. We don't mind you being a Baptist. You can come anyway. And as we were walking off, I told Anita, I said, you know what I should have told her, baby? Most of my family's Baptist, but they still come and hear the gospel every now and then. You know, so we have to understand when we look at God's Word, what does God's Word say? It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not the Word of man. So when you start talking about your faith and the faith, is it according to the Word? And if not, somebody needs to change. And we already know God's Word is never going to change. So who needs to change? Man needs to change. In the book of John, chapter 20, verse 3. John, chapter 20, verse 3. We ain't not reading all that. Let me make sure I got the right stuff down here. No, I don't. It was a sleight of hand. You go to verse 30 and 31, I do believe. 30 and 31. John chapter 3, verse 30 and 31. He must increase, but I must decrease. More of thee and less of me. That's what we need to be saying concerning God and the way that He will have us to go. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaking of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. We need to understand this, don't we? We need to understand what God wants us to do and be the people that God wants us to be. Did I read the wrong chapter? The wrong chapter,
John,
didn't
20.
I? Go ahead, Brother Brian. You got it.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name.
And where are we getting this from?
John chapter 20. verse 30 and 31.
But where are we getting this from?
Oh, word.
We're getting it from the Word.
Amen.
We're getting it from the Word. And when we can abide by the Word, and we can allow the Word to dwell in our hearts, when we can allow the Word to direct our path, everything will be all right.
Amen.
But that's not all. There are still some things that we need to know about the Word. What are those things? We need to know that the Word is complete.
Amen.
I believe that as the Holy Ghost was directing them, man, this is the thought of some people now. I believe they left something out. No, the Word of God is complete.
Amen.
Didn't leave anything out. You know, I really don't think that's what God meant for me to do. What did He mean for you to do? God says what He means, and He means what He says. His Word will never change. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. See, there may be someone here today that understands that God's Word is complete, but you have never had your sins washed away in water baptism because you just thought it wasn't necessary. It is necessary. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All things. You know, I'm missing something out of my life. You know why you're missing something out of your life? Because you don't have Jesus in it. He says He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The things in which we need to live by, the things in which we need to understand that governs our life to help us to get along with people that are so not well thought of. But the Word of God will help you do those things. All things, not some things, all things. In the book of James chapter 1 verse 25. James chapter 1 verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Well, let's just stop right there for a moment, because there are so many people that say, I know the Word of God. I know what God's Word tells me to do, but yet I'm not continuing. I just feel as though that's just not for me. Well, it says, and continue therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's always, when we start looking at God's Word, when you're talking to people sometime, and Brother Mark, and you look at them and they're talking to you, and then they pause, and then you look at them and you say, but what? See, there's always a but in God's Word. And when we do not do what we're supposed to do, you're going to get the latter part. You're going to get the worst. So we want to do what's right, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, see, that's that but right there. But whosoever looketh, the whoso looketh, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man, not any other man, but this man, shall be blessed in his deed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, we're looking at now, the Word is complete. It don't need me, it doesn't need you. The Word is going to do what it has to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But Mark, go ahead and read that for us, 13 through 17.
While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, for every good work.
I want to ask you something. How can the man of God be complete if the Word is not complete? He can't, can he? So all Scripture, not some of it, but all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. See, that should have been where I put up there that the word was what? Inspired by God or from God. That's in another sermon, Brother Brian. But we want to know that the word of God is complete. And then look what it go back up to verse 14 again. There's that but again. You got the but in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, that's the latter part. But we want the first part. We want the good part. But continue thou in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. How are we going to be able to do this if we never open up God's Word? We have to open it up. Amen. You know, am I telling you that you need to study your Bible? I'm just going to make it easy on you. On a regular basis, yes, I am. I would have said daily, but I know some of you are not going to open up your Bibles on a daily basis. But on a regular basis, you need to study God's Word. And as you study God's Word on a regular basis, it will be brought to memory on a regular basis. So we have to do what is right. The Word of God is indestructible. I don't care how many people talk against God's Word. It is indestructible. No one can destroy it because it is from God, the Creator. And if it's from God, the Creator, we know that it will stand forever. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words. Whose words? Christ is talking here, but we still understand that this is whose word? The word of God. Because He speaks as the Father wanted Him to speak. He did what the Father wanted Him to do. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never, never pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get y'all that one. Hey, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. It's indestructible. Cannot and will not be destroyed. 1 Peter 1, 25. Go ahead, Brother Theotis. See, God's word is not like man's word. Brother Theonopolis, this is that man talking to that woman. Baby, you know, I'm going to love you forever. Until what? You know, there's a but in there somewhere. But look what it says here with this but. But the word of the Lord endured forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's indestructible. Always be around. You know, just like a fly. When the fly gets into your house, and every time you go to one room, here comes that fly. Mm-hmm. So you have to know how to trap that fly. You go into one room and turn the light on, then you go into a dark room. Close the door to the room with the light, then you'll be able to kill that fly. God's word is indestructible, though. You can't kill God's word like that. And it's a myth that flies only live for 24 hours. Just want y'all to know that right now. God's word is good. I don't care what anybody say to you. I don't care what anybody say against you. God's word is good. It is indestructible. But guess what? Concerning God's word, it is the basis of judgment. You're not going to be judged on, I don't know where that came from. But there it is right there. Okay. The word is the basis of judgment. It's not what I say. It's not what the elders say. It's what God says. The elders are here to enforce God's word. I'm here to preach God's word. And if you do not understand God's word, whose fault is it? You're still going to be judged. John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. I never want it to be said by anyone when they stand before the judgment throne, well, Melvin didn't tell me. Because Melvin is going to tell you all that he can tell you. He wants to tell you, these are the things. This is the word that we're going to be judged by. In John chapter 12, verse 48, it says, he that rejected me and received not my words had one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Why do you want me to quit sleeping with that man? Why do you want me to quit sleeping with that woman? Because of the word. Why do you want me to quit drinking? Why do you want me to quit lying? Why do you want me to quit stealing? Because of the word. Why do you want me to treat my wife right? Why do you want me to treat my husband right? Because of the word. Why do you want me to assemble every time the door is open? Because of the word. This is what we're going to be judged by. God's standard, not man's standard. In the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The secrets now. Some say, well, no one knows about this. God knows about it. And if you don't get it right, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. We don't want anyone ever telling us that we need to do something right in our lives. But if that's not what you want, then do what? Do right. Do right. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. When men do not do right, when men do not act the way they're supposed to act, they will be judged according to their actions. Brother Thanopoulos, what does that say?
What have you done with the word?
That's it. What have you done with the word? Have you accepted it? Or have you rejected it? Let me turn around and look at the rest. Some do what?
Plant.
Others do what? And who gives the increase? God does. We go back up and look at it. When you have been added to the body of Christ, have you allowed the Word of God to flourish in your life? There are many that cannot say yes. Why? I really could give you many answers why, but it's up to you to know the real answer. If God gives the increase, it's all about Him, isn't it? We passed by a wonderful looking garden on yesterday. And if we went out and started picking those greens that was in that garden, I'm pretty sure we would have got into some trouble. But you know what? When that seed is planted, talking about the Word of God, when that seed starts, you know, someone go behind and water that seed, and God gives the increase, and we go and we encourage those seeds, those people, to do what is right, God doesn't mind. God doesn't mind. So if I ever have a garden full of greens, I encourage you to come pick you some. Not happening. Just want you to know that now. But I do want you to know, those of that you that are here that are not members of the Lord's church, that have not had your sins washed away, the word is what you need to be obedient to. As Philip taught the eunuch, they came upon much water, the eunuch said, here is much water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And the eunuch made that statement that Philip asked him about, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, he commands the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they came out of that water, said the eunuch, went away rejoicing. See, I believe this, that many Christians have quit rejoicing. And when a Christian quit rejoicing, that means he quit teaching God's Word. We need to do what is right. We need to get back to doing and being about the Father's business. Maybe you're here this morning and you have strayed away. And you really want to come back home. I ask this, what is holding you back? The Word wants you to come back. The Word encourages you to come back. And if that's true, you need to be obedient to it. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.